Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. On the one hand, but on the other hand. On the one hand, we know that the promises of God in this life are without limits. But on the other hand, we feel, see, and experience the trials and temptations of this world. On the one hand, we know that Christ is in control. He has all authority in heaven and on earth and all the powers that be. But on the other hand, we must wonder why we continue sending our loved ones to fight against evil. On the one hand, we say the Apostles' Creed and believe it to be true. On the other hand, within the repetition, we can fail to completely understand it. On the one hand, we have the promise that God will never lay anything upon us that we more than we can bear. But on the other hand, we have the experience to know that the light at the end of the tunnel is probably the train. How do we deal with the disconnect between the promises of our Christian faith and what we experience in the real world? Because we can hear certain parts of Scripture, even ones that are so straightforward, and we think that they often raise more questions than they answer. We get recorded texts like the ones we just heard, especially the one in Matthew chapter 3. In fact, this story is recorded 4 times in each of the Gospels, Jesus' baptism. It's in this biblical story where we find the revealed truths of Jesus, that nobody, not even John the Baptist, is worthy to baptize our Lord, that the Holy Spirit rests upon him, and that he truly is the Son of the Father. On the one hand, this is a nice, neat story, and one that solidifies how important it is for Christians to baptize. But on the other hand, it raises so many questions. For example, why was Jesus baptized as a fully grown man, probably in his 30s, rather than, say, a young child? And Jesus was holy and sinless, so why did he need to be baptized anyway? But while every Christian can explore these questions, as the church has done for centuries, it can lead to dangerous results with over-explanations and wrong interpretations. Yet when Jesus speaks to John, we can feel like we are right there. We find ourselves in that moment hearing Christ's first words in the Gospel of Matthew. "Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Quite simply, Jesus was baptized at the most perfect time, chosen by God the Father. It was done in accordance with the beginning of his earthly ministry leading up to the cross. And as Jesus self him said, "Let it be so now." Right then, in that very moment, his baptism was to be done. As we heard in our Old Testament reading from Isaiah, it was also in that moment when "the former things have come to pass, the new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I will tell you of them." John's former baptisms had been of repentance for multitudes of people. These baptisms were so appealing that the Pharisees and teachers of the law even fled to John to try to be baptized. But when Jesus was baptized, the water combined with the word then became a baptism of something more: the forgiveness of sins, righteousness, eternal life. The former washing had passed away. The new baptism had come. Therefore, the age of Jesus' baptism is irrelevant to us. It has no implication on when we, God's people, are to be baptized. Babies, youth, and adults are all able to be baptized with water and the word in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Let it be so now, just as Christ said. As for the second puzzling question, did Jesus Christ, the Son of God, need to be baptized in the first place? Jesus himself was sinless, overcoming temptation and perfectly upholding the law. John the Baptist really understood this, so much so that he insisted Jesus baptize him. But when our Lord speaks, it is calm and confident. For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. This baptism, Jesus' baptism, means something. It does something. Jesus had no need to repent or receive forgiveness as you and I do. Christ's baptism is the point when water combined with the word brought salvation. And it is the Holy Spirit who works through holy baptism in order to draw hearts to faith in Jesus. Baptism now saves you, says the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 3:21. And since Christ's mission on earth did not end with suffering and death, but instead with resurrection and new life, because his mission was a success, we can be sure our baptism is perfectly connected with his own. Hear what the Apostle Paul writes in his letter to the Romans chapter 6, as we just heard. When we were baptized, we were effectively joined with Jesus Christ. On the one hand, we are connected to Christ in his death and his death on the cross. Just as he was crucified and buried in the tomb, so too has our sinful nature been crucified and buried. But on the other hand, we are connected to Christ in his resurrection, receiving a newness of life in this life right now, but also for the promise of the life to come. And just as Christ's death on the cross, burial, and resurrection happened once, so too was his baptism a one-time event. Our one-time baptism, whether you were in your 30s or older, or just a baby, whether you remember it like it was just yesterday, or you have no recollection whatsoever, your baptism is perfect. Your baptism has saved you. It has removed the chains of sin and refreshed us to live freely. You have done nothing to earn it nor deserve it, but we thank God that he is gracious to us and has had mercy on us. We thank God that he has given us the forgiveness of sins and connected us with our Savior, Jesus Christ, by faith. And those brothers and sisters who await baptism and are yet to be baptized, they await a great gift from our triune God. On the one hand, baptism is nothing other than God's water in the Word, commanded by God's institution, or as Paul says, washed by the Word. But on the other hand, it is nothing short of our connection with Jesus Christ and all of his promises. And I'll end this sermon with the words of the doxology, which we would sing every time a child or adult was baptized in my last church. And that was at Concordia Kirkwood in St. Louis, Missouri. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.